Parshas Kisisa, as we know, has a very dramatic storyline. And what I wanted to explore was one of the important aspects that is mentioned. I think it's validating for many people to delve into this topic. I think it's important for us to understand a little bit. If you are a ma'amin ba'kadosh baruch hu, if you are a believer, which all of us are, we need to focus and understand a little bit the comments of Moshe Rabbeinu that are mentioned in Parshas Kisisa. So that's really the goal of today's shiur. And we're going to get to it in a couple of minutes, but by way of introduction, I just want to frame it in the following way. So, there's a philosophical question that has consumed the minds of many of the great Jewish philosophers throughout many, many millennia. And that question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? What was the reason? What was the purpose? Everything seemed to have been going just fine before the world was here. And suddenly the world was created and things became very complicated. Extremely complicated, and people are very sophisticated, and people are very complex. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have done this? What was the reason to create the world? Again, this is something that is discussed by many of the Sifrei HaMachshava, and the Ramchal in the Mesilas Yesharim in the 1700s writes, in his opinion, what he believes the impetus for the creation of the world was. And he explains it was Kedei Lehetiv Im Ha'adam. We understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to overwhelm mankind with kindness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to shower us with mercy and positivity. And as a result of that, he had to create the world. How else could he be the ultimate giver if there's no one to give to? Obviously, we needed people in the world to accept. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order that he should be able to be meitiv im acherim, in order that he should be able to give in the most overwhelming sense of the word, to all those who are here experiencing life in this world. Now, the Ramchal explains that, and then he goes on to say that, well then, why does life have to be so challenging? If God just wanted to give us and continue to give, then why doesn't he just give unconditionally and have no strings attached? Why don't we all just have nice, easy lives, living in some kind of utopian paradise society? And obviously, we all know that's not the way most people in the world live. So, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it that way? And the explanation that he gives is based on Chazal. We have a concept referred to as Nama de Kisufa, which means, although it's true that when a person comes begging at your home and you end up helping them, they feel very gratified, they feel very happy that they were helped, but there's something very fulfilling and satisfying, there's something very gratifying about a person who works toward sustaining themselves. It's not the same feeling. Although it's true that many people get help from others, there's nothing as rewarding as a person who's able to work hard in their own life and develop and accomplish and accrue some kind of, not only wealth monetarily, but wealth in many different ways. Somebody was talking to me last night. Actually, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg came to visit me the other night, and he said a line that I thought was great. He said that somebody recently told him, I forgot who he was quoting, said somebody recently told him that, you know, Nebuch, this person is so rich that the only thing they have is money. No. Now if this person is so poor that the only thing they have is money. I just ruined their great life. But it was a very profound statement that people work throughout life. That's why he's him and I'm me. So it was something that really made me think a lot. It was an interesting point. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that the most satisfying life that we can live is when we give ourselves the opportunity to work hard at life and to accomplish on our own. Obviously not to accomplish monetarily, to accomplish everything that we do in our lives. If it's given to us, it's something that is not as pleasurable, it's not as rewarding, and it's not as satisfying. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts obstacles in the way, and he puts challenges along the journey of all of our lives. Now, the Baalei Machshava then take it a step further, and they say what the specific challenge is going to be obviously varies from one person to the next. It's not always going to be the same, and it fluctuates, and there's a diverse range of challenges that people have. And the Baalei Machshava described this as Nekudas HaBechira. Nekudas HaBechira means, I was raised in a religious home by religious parents. I went to religious institutions my whole life. I go to shul every day. For me, it's not a challenge whether or not I'm going to observe Shabbos. That's not where my Bechira is. For other people, yes, that is where they have to make a choice. Are you going to observe Shabbos or are you not? Are you going to eat kosher food or you won't? Each person has their own degree of what needs to be a challenge for them. Some people surpass challenges and then are on to the next. And that's the way life goes. It fluctuates, it develops, it changes, and we challenge ourselves, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu challenges us. And that is the way life is. Nobody passes through the experience of life without challenges. Chazal tell us, I'm going to read you a comment from the Medrash in Shemos Rabbah. I didn't put it on here, but the Medrash says, Ein beriya she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu menasa osa. There is no one in the world that goes through life without being challenged. So sometimes you look at another person and you say, especially today in the social media culture where we get snapshots of people's lives, but we don't really understand what's going on behind closed doors. We don't really understand what's happening. So you see, you know, a beautiful picture. I know somebody who was telling me recently that it just gets them so upset. They look on somebody's Instagram account and they see how this woman posts pictures of all the kids sitting around the table eating their pancakes in the morning, and the house just looks perfect and everything's great. And then everyone's doing their homework when they're supposed to, and just, you know, videos and pictures. Yeah, but they don't show you the videos about when the kids are not acting that way, and when your house is upside down, just like all of our homes are, when the kids come home from school and dump everything at the front door and don't care about how anything looks. So yes, she's experiencing the same life that all of us are, but she's only giving you a snapshot of the perfect moment of her life. That's really, obviously, an inappropriate perspective of anyone's lives. But as a result of that, seeing snapshot moments of people's lives at their high, really sometimes it gives us a great challenge, because we say to ourselves, I wish I had this, and I wish I had that, and I wish I was living this kind of life, and we don't understand that everybody has different challenges. And Ein Briya She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menasa Osa, there is no one in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't challenge in some way. Ha'ashir, says Chazal, Menasa Imtehe Yadav Psucha La'aniyim. It's a tremendous challenge to a person who has a lot of wealth to figure out whether or not they're going to be generous and forthcoming and charitable. It's not so easy. And even if a person is going to be charitable, are you going to give to the right causes? Are you going to strike the right balance between holding on for yourself and giving away to others? It's not a simple balance. That's a tremendous challenge, to have people hounding you all day long for different causes and different needs, and you have to figure out what's appropriate and what's not. So you'll say to yourself, I'll take that any day. Not so simple. Go talk to somebody who deals with that. It's not so simple. I've spoken to many of those kinds of people, and it's a very great challenge. At the same time, the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests an ani, and a person who's really struggling and really trying to make it through life and is having a hard time doing so, Yachal Lekabel Yisurim Ve'Eino Koyes. Will that person live a life being bitter, angry, and resentful? Or will that person still be happy even though life is extremely challenging and very, very difficult? So as we know, every individual has their own specific and unique challenge. But at the same time, you ask yourself that if the Ramchal says that the reason why all of us are here is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Meitiv Im Habrios, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do good to all of us, sometimes you see situations where it just doesn't add up. So we understand, people are challenged, people have it hard, people have difficulties, they face ordeals and predicaments, we get it. And they're supposed to overcome obstacles, but sometimes people are thrown obstacles that are so humongous, that are so tremendous, that you ask yourself, it just doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense. How can that be fair? And that's really what I want to get into this morning, because that's Moshe Rabbeinu in this past week's Parsha, Parshas Kisisa. That is really what he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hodieni na derechecha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'd like you to explain, what's the system? How does this work? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'ra'isa sachorai ufanei lo yiro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry, but you don't have the ability to understand. So let's just try to unpack this a little bit. By doing so, I think it's worthwhile to look at the story of Eov. Eov is a truly amazing, very moving story. By way of introduction to the story of Eov, let's look at the comment of the Rambam, where the Rambam frames the conversation and the study of Sefer Eov in a certain way. Writes the Rambam, in his opinion, Eov lo haya v'lo nivra. Eov is a fictional, imaginary character. Mashal haya. Eov was an allegory. Eov is a metaphor. It's not a real story. V'asher chashvu shehaya v'nivra v'shehu inyan she'ira. And there are those who believe that Eov really did live, and Eov is a real story. Lo yadulo, even those people who claim that have no idea. Lo zman v'lo makom, they don't know when he lived, they don't know which millennia he lived in, they don't know who his contemporaries were, they don't know where he lived. El ksas chachamim amru shehayi bimei ha'avos. Some say, yeah, Eov lived in the times of the Avos, Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Some say he lived in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Some say he lived in the times of David HaMelech. Some say he was me'olei bavel. So this is spanning thousands of years. Nobody really knows exactly what the story is with Eov, and the Rambam says that's why it drives me to believe that Eov really didn't exist at all. Doesn't mean that it's a story that we shouldn't pay attention to. But he says the character and the storyline actually never happened. Ritzoni Lomar, says the Rambam, Hayos ha'ish ha'tam ha'shalim ha'yashav ha'masav ha'yari ma'od men ha'chatayim. Here you have a person who is the greatest person you will ever meet. Yacholu baroz gadolus utkufos. Does it make sense that such a person who is so steadfast to his belief will end up having the horrific tragedy, the horrific set of circumstances that Eov goes through? Bimamono ubana v'gufo lelochet. He loses his money and his children, as we'll see in a minute. He ends up getting inflicted with some kind of terrible illness on his own body. And all that because of what? Yechayiv ha'inahu. Does that make sense? Is it plausible that this really should have happened to him? Kolzeh mashal b'lo safek l'chol ba'al das, says the Rambam. Obviously, this is really meant just as a mashal. Shehu mashal lo kishar ha'mashalim kulam, avol mashlu shenitlu bo plios. Usually when you have a mashal, there's a nimshal that comes. And it makes sense. There's a connection. But here the Rambam says, you walk away from the story of Eob and you're completely mystified. And you don't know what to do with it. Udvarim shehem kivshonu shel olam. So let's get into the story. Let's learn through part of it. Again, I just took some of the highlights so we can just have a little bit of an understanding as to what took place. Eov, the psukim describe, was the perfect person. Perfect in so many different ways. Eov was a righteous, moral, upstanding person who was living the consummate Jewish life. And the pasuk says, Ish haya be'eretz utz, Eov shemo. Some of Farshim say, why does it refer to him as Ish haya be'eretz utz? Because this could have been anyone. How often have we seen somebody who's living a perfect life? Doesn't matter who it is. The person who you never would have expected. And suddenly, everything turns upside down. Unexpectedly. So the Navi begins by saying, Ish haya be'eretz utz. He just was a person. Happens to be his name was Eov, but this could have been anyone. V'haya ha'ishahu tam v'yasher v'yirei Elokim v'sar me'ra. My father once made a comment to me that he almost feels uncomfortable when he's introduced in certain places and they say, I mean, in his humility he said this, but, and they say, you know, we'd like to introduce Hagaon Rav Shechter. And he says, he always laughs. He says, I knew real Gaonim in my life. I knew really great people in my life, and I'm not them. So he finds it funny that our generation considers him to fill that void. Now, makes sense to us, doesn't make sense to him. But when you read this, sometimes we give honorifics to people that really don't deserve it. But this is the way it goes. You call this one rabbi, you call this one a leader, you call this one the CEO, the president. Does it really make sense that they should be in those positions? Sometimes yes, often not. Okay, do they really deserve our respect? Sometimes, maybe, depends on the person. But here, the Navi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says about Eov that he was an Ish Tam V'Yashar V'Yirei Elokim. The Ribbono Shel Olam said about Eov that he was a phenomenal person. He was a Yari Shamayim. Not that we perceived him to be so. Not that we had a mistaken impression of who he was. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about him that this is really who he was. V'sar Meira. He was living the perfect life. Vayivaldu lo shiva banim v'shalosh banos. He had 10 children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Vayihi mikneu shivas alfei tzon v'shloshes alfei gemalim. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, chamesh meos tzemet bakar, chamesh asonos, 500 to this animal, 500 to that. Vavu derava miod. He was extremely wealthy, living an opulent lifestyle, very lavish. Vayihi ha'ishahu gadol mikol b'nei kedem. This person was in a league of his own, in every way, living the perfect life, living the dream. V'halchu banav v'asu mishta beis ish yomo. And his children were just one beautiful family. And they used to make enjoyable gatherings. They used to make some kind of festive get-togethers. And each day they would switch off homes. They met one night at one child's house. The next night they all met at the other person's house. V'shalchu b'kar l'shloshes achiyoseim lecha v'lishtas imayim. The brothers all got together. Obviously, they included their sisters. And they said, you know, we're a beautiful family. We're living the dream. Let's get together. And every night, they would all get together and have a great time. And as the wonderful festivities were going on, Eov said, you know, it's very nice that we get together and we're one big happy family. But maybe he says, I don't know what they're talking about when they're all sitting around every night. You know, I'm sure at some point they're probably doing something wrong, talking negatively about another person. What happens when you have a whole family together? Sometimes it leads into conversations that it shouldn't. So Iyov said, you know, I'm going to bring karbanos. Ulai chatu banai uberche elokim belevavam. Kacha yasa Iyov kalayam. So here you have an amazing scene. Iyov has his 10 children getting together every night, having the time of their lives. And every morning, Iyov is going to offer a karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because maybe one of his children did something wrong the night before. Amazing. This is where his head is. This is the way he's thinking. The kind of life he lived. Vayhi ayom. And it was that day. Vayavo b'nei ha'lokim. Everyone following me? Vayavo b'nei ha'lokim l'siyatzev al Hashem. I really don't have chidushim here. I just really want to just read through the story and the psukim and understand it. So, it was that day, Vayavo b'nei ha'lokim l'siyatzev al Hashem, Vayavo gam ha'satan b'socham. So happens that there was a meeting in heaven of all the celestial beings came together to have a team meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, what are we supposed to do today? So the Ribbono Shel Olam calls in all the different malachim and he says, I want you to do this and do that, and this person's sick and you should go heal him, and that person needs this, and that person needs a parnasa. Everyone, and among the group was obviously the Satan. He's also one of the messengers of God himself. Vayomer Hashem al HaSatan. God says to the Satan, Me'ayin tavo? Interesting question. He says to him, where are you coming from? Vayan HaSatan al Hashem, and the Satan responds, Mishot ba'aretz u'mishalech ba. I happen to just have gone on a wonderful trip. I was floating around the world and seeing what was going on. And now I'm back. So tell me, what's my next assignment? What's my job? Vayomer Hashem al HaSatan. Ah, God says to the Satan, you had an opportunity to go and travel the world, so where'd you go? You went to the Alps? Where were you spending time? Hasamta libcha al avdi Iyov. While you were traveling down there, did you bump into somebody who I feel very close to Iyov? Did you happen to chance upon him? Ki ein kamo be'eretz, because there is no one in the world who's like him. Ish tam v'yasher yirei Elokim v'sar meira. I don't have anyone who's as great as Iyov. Have you come across him? Bayan hasatan al Hashem bayamar. The satan responds, Hachinam yirei Iyov Elokim. Do you really think Iyov should deserve any credit for the life that he's living? After all, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would give me as much as he gave Iyov, I would also serve him. And I would also... Now, that's not such a safe assumption. We know plenty of people who have it all and do not recognize the Yad Hashem in anything they have. We all know that. But the Satan says, what are you so impressed? What's the big deal? You gave him a perfect life. Hello, Ata Safta Ba'ado. You have provided for him. You have protected him. You've cared for him. You gave him a parnasa. You gave him healthy children. Uva'ad Beso. Uva'ad Kala Shalom Misaviv. Maisa Yada Be'rachto. Mikneu Par Ba'aretz. There's no one in the world who's like him because you've given him everything. So now, you're so amazed by the fact that he is such an upstanding person. Vu'ulam. The Satan says, Shlachna Yadcha V'gabuchal Asherlo. Im Lo Alpanecha Yivarecha. I bet you, says the Satan. Let's challenge him a little bit. And let's see how he's going to respond. I am quite certain that things are not going to remain the same. He's not going to remain as steadfast to his belief as you think. Vayomer Hashem al HaSatan, the Ribbono Shel Olam surprisingly gives full authority, complete liberty to the Satan, and he says, Hinei kol asher lo biyadecha, rak elav al tishlach yadecha. Do whatever you want to him. It's fine. You have free rein to do whatever you'd like. Don't kill him. I don't let you kill him. But you can afflict him in any way you feel is appropriate. That's a frightening allowance that was just given to the Satan. But that's what happens. Vayhi ayom. And it just so happens. Uban v'venosav ochlim v'shosim yayim v'beis achiyam habachor. So as we said before, they were all rotating homes, all getting together every day, and all of the 10 children are together in somebody's house. U'malach ba'al Iyov ayomar. Malach here does not mean an angel. Malach means a messenger. Shows up to Iyov and says, Habakar, hayucharshos, v'hasonos rois ha'idayim. All of your cattle, all of your donkeys, all of your animals were grazing. Vatipal shiva vatikachem. And attackers came out of nowhere. They ambushed the group. And they stole all of your cattle, all of your sheep. V'eshana'arim hikulu ficharev. And all of the shepherds were killed. V'imalta rakani levadi lahagilach. I'm the only one whose life was spared. I don't know how I ran away, but somehow I snuck out. And I came to give you the message, by the way, that you've lost all of your cattle, all of your sheep, everything's gone. Odzem Adaber, while he is telling him the story, Vizeba Vayomer, another person knocks on the door, he says, Iyov, I'd like you to know, Eish Elokim Naflam in Hashemayim, there was some wild raging fire that came out of nowhere, we didn't know where it came from, totally unexpectedly, Vativar Batsona Vana'arm Vatochlem, and all the sheep and the shepherds were just killed, And I was out there in the fields with them, and somehow somehow I was the sole survivor, somehow I escaped. And here I am. I came to let you know that you've not only lost all your donkeys and your cattle and your big animals, but you've also lost all the sheep and the goats that were grazing out in the field. Odzem Adaber, you're not going to believe this, but while this was happening, Vizeb Vayomer, somebody else comes along and he says, Kazdim Samu Shlosha Rashim, there are three different fronts coming from different angles, Vayifshitu Esagmalim, and they raided all of your camels, Vayikachum, and they took them, as Hanaarm Hikulifichar, they killed all of your assistants, all your servants, Vimalta Rakani Levadi Lahagilah. So here he is, three different people come in and let him know that he just lost his entire business. He has no money. Totally unexpectedly, totally shockingly. Odzem Adaber, while this is going on, Vizeba Vayomer, another one comes and says to Iyob, Banecho v'nosecha ochlem b'shosim yayin v'veis achiyam habechor. All your children, as you know, are together. They're having a nice evening. V'hinei ruach gedola ba me'ever ha-midbar, and suddenly a hurricane came, a very powerful wind. V'yiga ba'arba pinos habayis. So when you read the story, you say, impossible, how can such a thing happen? But we've seen videos of tornadoes and hurricanes. And unfortunately, it does happen every so often. So the Navi says that your children, all 10 of them were sitting in this house. You're not going to believe what happened. A tornado came. By Yipal anha al na'arim by Yamusit. The entire house collapsed on them. And all 10 children died at the same time. And I was the waiter in the house. I was trying to help them serve the meal. V'imalta rakani levadi lahagidlach. Somehow, I snuck out. And I'm the only one who's still alive. But I came to let you know that unfortunately, you've just lost 10 children. So can you imagine? Here he is, sitting one fine evening, and suddenly he lost all of his wealth in a span of 5 minutes. And the next thing he knows, somebody calls him and tells him he just lost all of his children. 10 children, all in one time. A house collapsed on him. Vayakom Iyov, vayikras me'ilo, vayagez es rosho. Obviously, Iyov realized this was a traumatizing time for him. He was devastated. Vayipal arza vayishtachu. And he acts as an avil. He realizes how much he's just lost. Vayomer. Listen how exceptional his response is. Just a remarkable response. Vayomer, and he says, Arum yatsasi mi beten imi. Such an astounding comment. I came out of the womb with nothing. Va'arum ashuv shama. Just take a perspective on life. I came into this world, I was naked, I didn't even have clothing. I had nothing. And guess what? It's the same way all of us are going to leave the world. Iyov says, what can I say? Hashem nasan v'hashem lakach yishem Hashem edorach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me all this wealth. He gave me all these children. He made me successful. He allowed me to live a great life. Yishem Hashem edorach. What else can I say? Such an astounding response. It's just unbelievable. And you see that Iyov is clearly impenetrable. He won't move. The Satan has tested him with everything. Bechalzos, and the Navi ends off the parak by saying, Lo chata Iyov, v'lo nasan tifla l'elokim. Don't misread that to mean tefila. Tefila means a prayer, a tefila. Tifla means a curse. And with all of this, Iyov stays strong. Lo chata Iyov, he does nothing wrong. Velo nasan tifla lelukim, not for a moment does he curse out the Ribon Shalom. Perek Beis. Vayi ayom vayavo b'nei ha'lukim desyatev al Hashem. The next day, all of the messengers in heaven come together for the team meeting again. So it's 9 o'clock in the morning or wherever they begin their shifts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls everybody in. He says, okay, what are we doing today? Obviously, the Satan is one of the messengers, so he also joins the meeting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks the Satan, so, how was your day yesterday? What did you do? Satan says, I actually had a wonderful day. It was a very successful day yesterday. I was actually traveling around again. You know, when you were traveling around the world, did you have an opportunity to meet my great and devoted student, my closest person, Iyov? Ki en kamo ba'aretz, there's no one in the world like him. Ish tam v'yasher yirei Elokim v'sar meira. V'odenu machzik b'tumaso, and he's still holding up with his integrity. V'atisiseni bo leval ochina. You incited me to try to get him. V'yama satan al Hashem v'yomar or ba'ad or v'chal asher le'ish yitim ba'ad nafsho. Ulam shlachna yadcha v'ga el atzmacha v'el b'saro imlo apanecha yivarechacha. You know, the satan responds, it's very nice that I challenged him and you're impressed that he's still holding strong. But in the end of the day, I took away his money, which is not connected to him. It's an external part of him. At least that's the way money is supposed to be looked at. It's not who we are. It doesn't define who we are. And his children. Again, everybody loves their children, but in the end of the day, it's not him. So would you give me the right to go back into the world and maybe start up with him directly? Let me try to get him. And let's see how he'll react. Let's see how he'll respond. Sorry, this is very intense. I'm getting a lot of stares. Vayomer Hashem ala Satan, you know what? Hine biyadcha achas napsho shemar. Don't kill him, but I give you the right to go back into the world and start with Eov himself. Don't get all the things around him. You have a right to hit Eov and afflict him. Vayetze Hasatan na'es b'nei Hashem, he's thrilled. He's going to prove to the Ribono Shel Olam, Eov is not as great as you thought. Look what's going to happen when I do something to him. Vayachas Eov b'shchin ra mikaf raglo ve'ad kad kadu. You know, we hear the stories about the people who are so steadfast in their amuna, and the minute that they get a diagnosis of some stage 4 cancer, they say, oh, Baruch Hashem. Yeah, these are the stories we hear. What you don't hear is the people that don't say that. I hear those people. They don't always say that. That's not a natural response. That's not a natural reaction. I was actually talking to someone recently from Eretz Yisrael. It was actually a media personality in Eretz Yisrael, and this person told me that they think it's terrible that every time there's a terror attack in Israel, it's considered normal that the news will go and interview the victims or the spouses or the children that afternoon, the minute after it happens. Right away they're in the house and they're talking to them. And I said, I'll tell you the truth. I'm so inspired every time I read one of these things. You know, they come to the house the night after a terror attack and the father was just killed. And the wife is just standing there. Oh, you know, Hodu Lashem, and everything's going to be fine. Like, I'm always standing there. I'm so awed by what's going on. And they said, it's not so good. That a person feels they need to live up to a standard of saying that, instead of allowing themselves to really process what's going on. It's almost like I have an expectation that I'm going to come out and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so wonderful. We don't always all feel that way. Sorry, it's just not the way we always feel. So we hear the stories about those very heroic individuals who do feel that way in a very genuine sense, but it's not always the case. So the Satan believes that he's going to finally be able to get Eov to break. He didn't break yet from losing 10 children and all of his wealth, but here he goes. Vayachas Eov b'shchinra mikaf raglo v'ad kad kado. He inflicts him with some kind of terrible infection and horrible inflammation. Vayikach lo cheres lehizgared bo hu yoshe b'socha efer. Eov doesn't know how to try to cool off his body. He tries to go into the mud. He tries to do something. Vatomer lo ishto. And Eov's wife turns to him. Odcha machzik b'tuma secha. Bareich Elokim v'meis. Are you insane? You still believe in this God, his wife says to him. You believe that the Ribono Shel Olam is still a good God? It's impossible. Bareich Elokim v'meis. We're up to the next side of the page now. I mean, how is it possible that you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu your whole life? You're the perfect person. You're the most remarkably connected individual who has such a strong emuna. And you still believe in this? Are you out of your mind? Look what the Ribono Shel Olam is doing to you. Just curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be done with him, and commit suicide. Move on with the experience of life. Vayomer Eleha, listen to this. He turns to his wife and he says, Kidaber achas hanavalos tidaberi? Do you really have no shame to say such a thing? Listen to how he responds. Gam es hatov nekabel me'es elokim ve'es hara lo nekabel? Never once when we were prosperous, when we were doing well, when everything was going fine in life, never once did you stop and say, why me? Never once did you ask yourself, was I deserving of this? What did I do in life to really benefit all of this tremendous gain that I have? Never once did you ask that. So what are you going to say? We're going to accept the good from HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ez hara lo nekabel, and now that He throws a curveball at us, a very difficult one, but now that He throws this at us, lo nekabel, we're not going to accept it. B'chol zos lochata Iyov b'svasav Iyov says, not going to say a word. This is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has given us everything in life, is the one that's doing this to us as well. Vayishmu shloshes rei Iyov. Iyov has three very, very dear friends, and they hear about all the terrible things that have come upon him. Vayavo ishmi mekomo Eliphaz ha-Temani u'beldad ha-Shuchi v'tsofar ha-Na'amasi. These three individuals come from different communities. Vayivadu yachto lava ladono ulenachamo. They come to console him. They come to talk to him, to comfort him in some way. Now, how do you comfort someone? Sometimes you go to a shiva and you don't know what to say. Imagine you come to a shiva and somebody just lost 10 children. How can you even begin to think of what to say? Horrible. They couldn't recognize him. Sometimes you see a person going through a tragedy and you say, wow, they lost a lot of weight, or they just look so pale, but to the point that you can't recognize it. Yes, if somebody lost everything overnight with all their children and everything they've ever had, you probably wouldn't recognize it. Vayisu kolam hayifku, everyone started to cry. Vayikru ishim ha'ilo, they all tore kriya. Vayizuku afar al roshem ha'shamayma. Vayeshu itola eret shivas yamim v'shivas leilos. I find this next pasuk so instructive. They sat with him 7 days and seven nights. Ve'ein dover elav davar. Nobody said a word. People who are in pain don't always need us to say something. Sometimes there's nothing to say. And our job as friends, as the closest friends, is just to be quiet. It's hard, it's uncomfortable. We're not used to behaving like that. But sometimes that's all our friends need. It's just to be quiet and sit there and listen. And that is what his friends did. They sat there for a week. Nobody said a word. Ki ra'u ki gadol ha-ke'ev me'od. So have we not been in awkward situations where people who are sitting with us at a shiva home will say, it will be fine. You'll be fine. You'll see, you'll get over it. You'll be fine. Everything will be all right. How do you know? Or, I've been to shiva homes where, unfortunately, somebody lost a young child, and people will say, I can sense they're dancing in shamayim. Really? Curious, where do you see these images? Where does one go to have these kinds of insights? Dancing in shamayim? With who? How do you know? And who said that's the appropriate thing to say? Olam Haba is much better than Olam Haza. They're in a much better place. Really? It's true that Olam Haba is a better place, but that doesn't help me. Right now I'm in pain. I don't have this person who I love. So while it's true that Olam Haba is a better place than Olam Haza, the bottom line is I am in pain. And that comment doesn't help me. So, I think it's just an opportunity to remind ourselves to be mindful of this. That sometimes coming and just keeping quiet is the way to go. Nothing needs to be said. I can't tell you how many shivas I've been to with my father. I've taken him to many unfortunate homes. My father happens to be a quiet person in general. But when it comes to a shiva, so he walks into a house, his style is to just sit wherever there's an empty seat and not say anything. And not make a big deal, but whenever somebody notices him, then everyone starts getting up and moving, and they always make him sit in the front. And everyone's uncomfortable to talk while Rav Schechter's there. And he just sits there and cries. doesn't say a word, and he leaves. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that. And every time, the family has called me after and said, your father was the most inspiring visit we had the whole week. Now, to everyone else in the room, it's awkward. But to the person who's suffering, who sees that an individual is willing to just sit there and listen, not pry for information, not be interested in anything other than what you want to share with me, sometimes that's all people need. And here is the three closest friends of Eov. That is exactly what they did. Now, that's what they did in the beginning. This went on, the Mishnah tells us, for over a year. These kinds of horrible tragedies. And everything was compounded. It just wouldn't stop. On top of that, he was betrayed by his own wife. No, she didn't go off with someone else, but she thought he was insane. And his wife left him. All of his friends told him that there was something wrong with him. So I was once at a levaya of somebody who died very tragically, and one of the leaders of the community got up and said, it's because people in this community don't keep Shabbos well. It's amazing. You know? It's amazing that people can say such a thing. And the stories here that were told are, Eov's friends turn to him and say, look, we have a little bit of a issue here. Because on the one hand, we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good. On the other hand, we thought all along that you were a very good person. But obviously you're not. Because look what happened. This doesn't happen to good people. You must have done something wrong. So it's time for you to do some self-introspection and think about where you've gone wrong and try to fix it. So that's the avenue that they take. To the point that Eov feels he has no emotional support. He's completely alone. You know, someone gave me a gift this summer. The book of Rabbi Schwab's commentary on Eov. It's actually somebody we were in Camp Simcha with. I sat in the summer and I read most of it. They had it in the library in Camp Simcha. We deal with a lot of tragedy there, a lot of unfortunate realities. So I was learning through Eov, and this person saw that I was not putting the book down. So he sent a copy to my house after we came home from camp. I don't know if you've ever read such a thing or looked through Eov with a commentary, but it's extremely powerful to read the story, and it resonates because so much of it is the experience that we see of how people react inappropriately, of how people respond, of how somebody deals with tragedy. It's fascinating. So Eov's own wife keeps pressuring him that he should break. Doesn't work. Eov's friends turn on him. Situation continued to go in a downward spiral. And his friends in Perek Dalet, his friends say to him, Zecharna mihu naki aved. You know, do you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really would do this to someone who doesn't deserve it? Can't be. After all, we started off the story saying that the Ribono Shel Olam believed that Eov was a perfect human being. But obviously we were all mistaken, the friends say. And they all turn on him. And that's the basic story of Eov. Now, when you read, when you learn the story, there's a lot more, obviously. It's much longer, much more detailed. It's extremely painful. It's very sad. But also, it's a little bit unrealistic for people like me to internalize and appreciate the response of Eov. This is just so unreasonable. At some point you say, you know, there's something wrong. After all, we all know Avraham Avinu in Parshas Va'era, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to destroy the city of Sodom, who were deserving of being destroyed. It's not as if they were such great, righteous people. They were horrific, horrible people. And yet Avraham Avinu says, Chalila lecha me'asos kadavar hazeh. Avraham Avinu says, that's not fair. Laham is tzadikim rasha. You have to look at every individual person in town and figure out whether they are appropriately being punished or not. Avraham Avinu says there has to be some kind of system here. You can't just say, oh, I don't like the city of Sodom, so we're going to destroy it. What do you mean? Look around the city and find out, is everybody really worthy of destruction? Is that really fair? Chalila lecha. Hashoved kala'aretz lo yasa mishpat. Avraham Avinu calls out the Ribono Shel Olam and he says, how dare you? Hashoved kala'aretz, you call yourself the judge of the land Lo yasa mishpat, and you're not going to go through a careful justice system here. Suddenly you're just going to go loose and let everyone be destroyed together. David HaMelech says, Nar ha'isi v'gam zakanti v'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezev, a pasuk we're all familiar with. What does it mean? I've been around the block, David HaMelech says, Nar ha'isi v'gam zakanti. I've seen a lot of different experiences. V'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezev. Never have I seen a tzadik who is just left abandoned without being taken care of. Really? Really? I've seen it. The understanding is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs a system. That there's a calculated system. And if that is the assumption that we work with, Rav Dessler writes in Michta Melio, I guess I'll say, I felt very validated when I read what he says, because it's what I've thought many times, but I would never dare to say it, so I'm just going to say it in his name, but it's on my heart. So, look what Rav Dessler writes in the Michta Melio. Becholzos, with all these understandings, Chalila lecha, me'asos kadavar azeh. Yes, Avraham Avinu said it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elam Unav Einav El. Everything's perfect. Everything's right. And yet with all of that, says the Michta Melio, V'chol Anu Pogim B'kushios Gedolos V'chazakos, with all of that, we are often confronted with very serious questions, very substantive questions. Lama Ploni Zacha L'chaim U'usharim. You look around and you ask yourself, why is this person deserving of this incredible life? It doesn't make sense. Somebody in business once told me that he looks around, he meets with CEOs of other companies sometimes, and he asks himself, how did this person make it? You sit in a meeting with them and you see they seem to have no qualifications to be in the position that they're in, and sometimes it's just mazel. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Not because they're so brilliant. It's not because they're so savvy. Somehow people just end up in certain places and you scratch your head and you ask, how could this be? How'd they get there? It doesn't really make sense. Hasheni chayitzar yichyeh. You ask yourself every so often, does it make sense that this person is living a perfect life and that person is being tormented and destroyed every day? Lama ploni hatzadik yizbo yisurim rabim v'chayiv yu k'chayi gehenim. Why are certain people living a life of hell? Uploni harasha yu kulam yamav k'chagim. And other people are living it up and having perfect lives and nothing's wrong. Yesh asher munasim shlema. There are some people, writes Rav Dessler, who have such a sense of emunah, of belief, some people see this and don't even have questions. And they say, well, God is God and everything's perfect and everything's great. And I don't even have a question mark in my mind at all. Because they know, yes, there is a category of people like that. And we support those people and they're wonderful and they're great. But for most of us, the Hamonam, writes Rav Dessler, Amnam. Gam rabim hema asher lo taspik lahem atshuva habura hazos. That answer doesn't work for everyone. Right? So sometimes people have a question. You say, oh, emuna pshuta. She'ad emuna. I'm always amazed when I meet those Holocaust survivors who went through what they went through. It's hard for us to even imagine what they went through, even as much as we hear it. And yet, you say, yeah, but a yid is a yid. You know, this is what we do. And a kodesh baruch hu is a kodesh baruch hu. I don't know. I ask myself, if I, Rahman al-Islam, was put through such a horrific couple of years, horrifying experience, would I come out and say that? I don't think so. I don't think I would. There are many Jews who didn't. Let's not kid ourselves. There are many Jews who walked away and said, this is not for me. This doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And we can't blame them. Says the Michta Melio, Rabim hema asher lo taspik lahem atshuva habura azos. So you see these Alta Yidin that sometimes say, yes, emunah pshuta, it works for them. Somehow it works for them. But for many of us, that doesn't work. It's not the answer. V'libam yahara achar midosav yizbarach ki halo tova rachum hu. Don't we all believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so kind and so merciful and so perfect? And Cain, lama yimamar aschayinu, why would you torment us? Why would you destroy our lives? Why would you make us suffer like this? V'im hu onesh asher hu yanish, is this something that I deserve? Is this an onesh for something that I've done? Look, there are certain people in the world who are clearly very righteous. We know that. And yet, look around at the world and look at those people who really are living horrible lives, meaning with no ethics and no values and no morals at all, and yet they seem to be doing fine. Yesh anashim asher hasheila haniskeres tafriosam harbe ba'avudasim es Hashem avodas alev. There are people who this gets in the way of their entire relationship and connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they say, how can I believe? How can I be a mamon? How can I be connected if this is the perspective that I have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ma betza kin avdeinu. Why should I serve him if this is what he does to me? Right? You have a job and they haven't paid you in 6 months. At some point you're going to say, how long can I continue to work in this position when they don't recognize what I'm doing? So they'll say, we're going through hard times. Okay, how long are you willing to give them? Let's say you have a company that's not going through hard times. They just decided, we're not paying you. We're not paying you. Okay, the first month they're not paying me, second month, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. How long are you going to stick it out? At some point you're going to say, I don't belong here. This is not for me. Right, so Dessler, there are many people who feel the same way. I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I daven every day. I do all the mitzvahs that he wants me to do. I try to do it to the best of my ability. Look, none of us are perfect, but we try. So we try. At some point you ask yourself, Ma betza ki na avdenu? How much can I invest in this relationship when there's nothing being given back? When all I'm getting is misery in response? I think it's a very powerful way to set this up, right, Rav Dessler. Yesh asher yishalu amkein. So maybe you'll say, you know, people deserve it because they've done things wrong. Maybe. Okay, none of us are perfect. If we actually went back and looked inside of ourselves, we would all know that there are things that we need to improve. Okay. Lama yesh misha nolad chola. You explain to me, says Rav Dessler. How does it make sense? How is it justifiable that a child is born with some kind of serious illness? How are you going to explain that? Maybe you'll say people have done things wrong in their experience of their own lives. But how are you going to explain this? Yesh gam shemachalasam yirusha lehamei avoseim. Some people have genetic disorders and it goes from one generation to the next. Lama asu lehem kacha min hashamayim. How do we explain that? So, if you're one of these people, like I am, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, you live life with a lot of questions. And sometimes you doubt yourself, am I allowed to have these kinds of questions? Rav Dessler had your questions, and he wasn't the first. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa, and this is really where the shiur begins. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa, asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodieni na derachecha ve'edo echa. He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, explain me your ways. Now what does that mean? The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Amar lefanav, Ribono shel olam. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mipnei ma yesh tzadik v'tov lo v'yesh tzadik v'ralo. Yesh rasha v'tovlo v'yesh rasha v'ralo. I'm looking around at the system of how the world runs and it doesn't seem to make any sense. You have wonderful people who are living lives that are so difficult and so painful, and you have awfully horrible people who are living great lives. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Kisisa and he asks him, Hodieni na derechecha. I want to understand this. Why is it fair? What's the system? How does this work? We believe El Amunah Ve'Ein Avel. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate just and righteous entity in the world. And yet it just doesn't seem to match up with our perception of how the world runs. Moshe Rabbeinu was not the last one. But if you're one of those people that have such questions, don't think that your thoughts are offensive or unacceptable or improper or distasteful in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu had these questions. And not only Moshe Rabbeinu, Yirmiyah HaNavi. Yirmiyah HaNavi writes on the bottom here, Madua derech reshaim tzalecha. Yirmiyah turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before this pasuk and he says, Tzadik ata Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are righteous, I got it. I believe, I'm a mamin, okay. But, ki arv alecha, Ach mishpatim adaber oscha. Yirmiyah HaNavi turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, as much as I believe and as much as I trust, as much as I'm a mamin, mishpatim adaber oscha. I have a bone to pick with you. I have something I need to discuss with you, and that is, madua derech reshaim tzalecha. Why is it that there are evil people who just have it easy in life? Shalav kolbogdim boged. Natatem gam sharasho, yelchu gam asaperi. They seem to be prospering, they seem to be doing very well. Va'ata Hashem yadatani tirani uvechanta libi itcha. He says, I just cannot understand how this is possible that you allow the world to run in such a way. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yirmiyah HaNavi. Chavakuk says the same thing. Tahari Naimei Rose Barak, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are the purest of all entities in the world. You don't look at anything evil. Lama Tabit Bogdim Tacharish Bibela Rashad Sadik Mimenu. If you're watching as everything is going on in the world, how is it that you stand on the side and you seemingly do almost nothing when you see that good people's lives are being destroyed? How do you explain that? Ask the Navi. So this is a question that has bothered many, many of the great philosophers, the greatest of our people, the greatest of Nevi'im, Moshe Rabbeinu at the head. The Gemara says in Megillah, Malachi was the last of the Nevi'im. Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi were the last group of Nevi'im. Who was Malachi? It's a good question. The Gemara says potentially it was Ezra. I'm not exactly sure if it was Ezra or it was Mordechai HaTzadik. The Gemara has one opinion, maybe it was Mordechai from the Purim story. Either way, the Gemara says in Sota that once Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi passed away, there was not going to be Nevuah again until the coming of Mashiach. So they were the last ones who had Ruach HaKodesh. Let's read together the way the last chapter of Malachi, Perek Gimel, ends off. So what does he say? Chizku alai devreichem amar Hashem. Va'amartem ma nidbarnu elecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Navi and he says, hey, I've heard what some of you are saying behind my back, so to speak. You think I'm not listening. But let me tell you what I heard the Jewish people saying. Amartem, you said, Shav avod Elokim. You have said, it's a worthless endeavor to be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be following in this way. What gain have we had from being involved in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We have followed you with absolute awe for all these years. But what have we gained for it? Nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I hear the people saying that. Va'ata, anachnu ma'ashrim zedim, gam nivnu osaresha, we see and we observe how happy and successful the lives of those evildoers are. Gambachanu alokim vayimaleitu, they challenge you, God. They do all kinds of horrible things to destroy the Jewish people, to destroy you and everything you stand for. Vayimaleitu, and they run away, they get away with it. Oz nibru yirei Hashem isha reyedu. Vayakshev Hashem vayishma. Vayikasev sefer zikaron lefanav liyirei Hashem alechosh veshemo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes note of what everyone is saying. But don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the last of the Nevi'im. And this is the way he ends off the last Navi that we have. V'hayuli amar Hashem tzevakos layom asher ani osa segula. There will come a time when I will do wonders. V'chamalti aleim kasher yachmol ish al benoha oved oso. And I will have mercy on all of my children, the way a parent has mercy on their children. V'shavtem u'reisem beit tzadik l'rasha. There will come a time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures us. Doesn't make it easy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures us with the words of the last of the Nevi'im that there will come a time, v'shavtem u'reisem, that we will all regain perspective. That we will have that opportunity to appreciate and understand what it is. Ki hineh hayom ba bo'er ketanur. There will be a fiery furnace at some point in history. That fiery furnace will completely destroy all evil in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that we will have the opportunity to shine. The people who have done good and those who have held on tightly and strong for all of these difficult experiences. For the meantime, the Navi Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im, says to the Jewish people that there's one instruction. There's confusion, there's uncertainty, there's difficulty, it's hard to appreciate and understand, but he ends off telling us one instruction, one directive, and that is, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, Asher Tzivisi Oso B'chorei V'alkol Yisrael Chukim U'Mishpatim. You live life with questions. It's okay. It's okay to have questions. But Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, the only way you will remain who you are is by holding on even without any Nevi'im, even without having any of those experiences that many before us had. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, remember all that Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted to you. Hinei Elohi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VeHanora. Don't be afraid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send Eliyahu HaNavi. So the last of the Nevi'im promises us that there will be a time when a Navi will come And all of this will become clear. Some explain that that's what it means. That's what it means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'ra'isa sachorai ufanai lo yirou. In retrospect, you'll have the opportunity to understand everything that happened. But ufanai lo yirou, when you're looking at it at face value, when you're looking at it in front of you, you cannot fully appreciate or understand. The Chafetz Chaim as a mashal, we'll close with this. It was somebody who was making a wedding for one of his children, a very, very wealthy individual. And the Chafetz Chaim writes how he really wanted to have the finest clothing to wear. So he buys a certain material, had gold threaded through it, whatever it may have been. He brings it to the tailor, and his daughter, the bride, the kala, comes for a fitting. Tailor's, you know, doing all the sizes, all the measurements, beautiful. So when do you think it will be ready? Well, I need 3-4 weeks to work on this. No problem, we have 2-3 months to the wedding. Okay, we'll come for another fitting, perfect. We'll come for the next fitting a month later. It's coming out very nicely. Do a little bit of adjustments. It's finally ready 2 weeks later. This man says to the tailor, "You're a thief." And he says, "What are you talking about?" Turns back to him and he says, "You know how many yards of material I came to you with? Where did it all go? Where is it?" And he says to him, "Where did it all go? I sewed it into the gown." And he says, "Show me. Where?" And he starts measuring. He says, "Well, I've gotten the measurements, but it doesn't add up. You stole the rest of the material." And he says, "You're not a tailor, you don't understand. But I had to make a cuff here and a hem there, and I had to double over the material in this place and that location and behind the collar and behind the neck and underneath all the different things that I had to do." And he's insistent that the tailor has stolen from him. And he says, "I have no way of explaining this to you. The only way I can explain it is if I take everything apart and I show you, but then you're not going to have a gown." So the Chafetz Chaim writes, sometimes we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, "It just doesn't seem right, something's off." And the Ribono Shel Olam says, "How can I explain it to you?" I said I would end with that, but I'm not. Chafetz Chaim has another amazing mashal in the Shem Olam. Maybe I'll end with this, we'll see. But the Chafetz Chaim, really, it always touched me. So he writes about somebody who was traveling for business. He ends up getting stuck over a Shabbos in a certain town. Never been there before. Goes into shul Friday night. Very gracious, very nice. Shabbos morning, he comes back to shul. They're helping him out. After davening, the gabbai comes over to him. He says, "So, how do you enjoy your experience here?" He says, "It was very nice, lovely. People are really being very generous and very kind, inviting me over. It's really a very fine community." He says, "Is there anything I can help you with?" He says, "Actually, yeah, I noticed something very strange in the middle of davening. I'd love to have a short discussion with you." He says, "Yeah?" He said, "I noticed when it came time for Kriyas HaTorah, you were running around the shul. You gave the first aliyah to someone in the third row. You ran to the other side, the second aliyah to someone all the way in the back there, the front here. You're running around. I have a much simpler idea. Why don't you give the first 7 men sitting in the front row the aliyah the first week? Then the next week, you go to the second row, third row. And by the time you get around, you'll get around to all the aliyahs and we'll come back in a circle." This doesn't make sense, the system. So the gabbai turns to me and he says, "How long have you been here?" He says, "This is my first time here." "First time here? You think you're going to understand the system? Look, this one has yahrzeit this week for his grandmother. That one made a sheva brachas this week, his daughter got married. This one, it's his bar mitzvah. And this one is celebrating his anniversary. And that one has whatever. Everyone has reasons. You think you're going to understand?" He said, "Stick around for 4 or 5 years. You'll start to get the rhythm of how we do things and why we divvy up things the way we do. Then you'll start to understand the flavor of the community and why things work the way they do." Chafetz Chaim said, sometimes we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we ask him, "How does this make sense? Why don't you make the poor people stay poor? They figured out how to be poor already. So just keep them poor. Why don't you make the rich people stay rich? They figured out how to live rich. They're doing okay. Just leave them alone. Leave everybody. Let the healthy people be healthy. Let the sick people be sick. They already came to an understanding of how to live a life of a sick person. Just keep things the way they are. Why do you have to turn things upside down? You go to the front row, the back row, back and forth, and you keep moving around the experiences of life. It seems so haphazard." HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to us and he says, "One second. How long have you been here? Oh, you were just born? Like 50 years ago? I've been here a few thousand years. Stick around for a little longer, and you'll begin to understand the rhythm and the flavor of how things go. So, Moshe Rabbeinu gives us a clue into his own personality. Moshe Rabbeinu clues us in to some of the questions that he dealt with and he faced. And he wasn't the last, as we mentioned. Many of the great Nevi'im, many of the great Ba'alei Machshava since that time, have been grappling with the same kinds of issues and the same kinds of questions. Malachi tells us, until we have that understanding, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, our job here is to stick to the faith, is to somehow figure out how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu despite all these questions, to figure out how to live life with questions. Sometimes that's the way it is. But to understand that although HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world Lehetiv Imbriyosav, and sometimes we don't see it that way. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it's all perfect and Gamzu Latova. And it's not easy for us to say that. And not always is that the appropriate response to tell someone who's going through a difficult circumstance or a difficult tragedy. But at the same time, to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu also lived with questions. To me, that's very validating. That Moshe Rabbeinu lived with questions. That Yirmiyah HaNavi and Habakkuk and Malachi all lived with the same questions that many of us live with. And it's an interesting perspective to think about as we read Parshas Kisisa last week, to remind ourselves that sometimes this is the experience that a Maamin HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through. Sometimes this is the kind of experience that we are put through, and it's a challenging one, and it's difficult when we go through it personally, when we go through it communally, when we see friends who go through different kinds of difficulties. But it's an opportunity for us to just remind ourselves and think a little bit about such issues. As we just saw the highlights of Sefer Iyov, is an opportunity for us to gain perspective of how to internalize that into the experiences of our own lives. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.